Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and it is Wednesday, which means Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, is in the house with us to talk sports.
I knew if I lived long enough, somebody would say
Littlefield's
that.
Littlefield's in the
regarding
house.
Regarding me.
That's He's here.
Thank
Hello,
you. That was
Bill.
Very cool.
All right.
Good to be here.
It's always good to have you, but let's start off with some, I don't know, bad news this morning that Red Sox manager John Farrell is out. Mm-hmm. News comes after a couple of days following the Sox elimination from the division series. They were ousted by the Astros, and we've got some tape here. Here's Red Sox president of operations, David Dombrowski, today.
After some thought processes, you weigh a lot of different things that become involved. And to me, I thought that it was the appropriate time to make a change for the betterment of the organization to move forward. And for me, I think at this point, sometimes change can be better.
Change can be better, Bill.
Yeah, and thought processes are always good things to engage in before you make a change.
So is this a good change that followed these
As
thought processes?
I understand, processes? He said gobbledygook followed by some gook.
Come on. I mean, they did. You know, it's funny. Week after week, we talk about managers who are ousted after a team has a not great season. But the Sox were 93-69
this season.
Yes,
they were. Frequently, the real reason for making a change after a team has had a reasonably good season, although with the Red Sox is always disappointing that they don't go even further, is that the old phrase, the manager's lost control of the team. And there were a number of things that happened this year that would lead people to invite people to draw that conclusion. You had the thing between David Price and Dennis Eckersley,
oh, yeah.
where
right.
Eckersley criticized a pitcher and Price said, blah, 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 you don't have any right to do that. You had Dustin Pedroia getting hurt and then a pitcher knocking down one of the Orioles and Pedroia mouthing to the Orioles, that wasn't my idea. And some people said, hey, what's he doing? You know, blaming his teammates, not taking responsibility when a pitcher was standing up for him. You had Nunez going back out onto the field on a knee that collapsed as soon as he went back onto the field. A lot of people said that was a pretty silly managerial decision. So these kinds of things may be part of what went into it. The fact is the people around here have developed very high expectations for the Red Sox. So losing early in the playoffs is not satisfactory.
Mm, okay, so to that point, yesterday we spoke with Herald sports columnist Steve Buckley, and he had written a column on Monday titled, Time Has Come for Red Sox to Fire John Farrell, and here's what he said.
A lot of times when a team wins a division title and goes out in the first round, it's still seen as a happy moment, a climb up. This is Boston. It's a high payroll. It's a team with annual expectations to go deep into the playoffs, if not win the World Series. So fighting a good fight, glass half filled, silver linings, none of that unfortunately applies to the Red Sox.
So those high expectations there that Steve Buckley was also talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, we should say that Farrell issued a statement today that included this. He said, I'm grateful to an ownership group that gave me such a unique opportunity and one that shared my desire to bring World Series championships to this great city. They supported me through a challenging and scary period in my own life, and I remain forever indebted, talking there about the fact that he was diagnosed with lymphoma
right.
in 2015.
Right. And that's he's a class guy, and he's also a baseball man, and that's a way of saying to his next employer, I won't say anything bad about you when you fire me either.
Okay.
That's how they go. I mean, baseball is famous for recycling guys. It is the ultimate old boys club, and he'll have a job somewhere before long.
So who's going to be recycled into the Red Sox then?
Well, my two suggestions are if Cleveland doesn't beat the Yankees, Terry Francona be available. He's pretty good. had a pretty good run in Boston.
I know what I was going to say. Like, I think we don't know a little bit about it.
And if Washington doesn't beat the Cubs, then maybe Dusty Baker will be available. And wouldn't it be nice to have a Dusty Baker manage the Red Sox? That would be a real change. Change in complexion in the dugout, wouldn't it?
It would. So, yes. Okay. So here's the thing. I want to talk about soccer, and the link here is your track record when it comes to prediction, okay? Because I want to start with some foreshadowing you gave us last week about the U.S. men's team. Cue the flashback harp.
The U.S. men's team is on the brink of failing to qualify for the World Cup next year. And boy, they better beat Panama on Friday night.
Aha! And so they did beat Panama, but then was last night's game against Trinidad and Tobago.
Long distance blast, and it's Alvin Jones! One for the legend books! Oh my! His first Trinidadian goal, and he might as well retire right now.
Now that was a pretty kick, but
yeah.
For the U.S. men's team, the shame, the horror! What happened?
Yeah, well, the simple answer is they lost to the worst team in the group. It's tough to play, traditionally tough to play on the other guy's field, but they were playing a team that is 90-something in the world. They should have won. And the longer view is that last night's performance was utterly representative of the way they have gone through this qualifying round. On one night, they can look terrific. They beat Panama by 4 goals not so long ago, just a few days ago. And then, bang, they fall on their faces against Trinidad Tobago. So, it was an awful thing. People are talking about this as the worst loss in the history of U.S. national team play. And by the way, it's the worst loss in the history of U.S. national team play by men.
Yes. Yes. I was like, say it, Bill.
Lots of women's teams have played
by the
very
men.
Well.
And, that's right.
And they have been upset, but not very often by other teams, and certainly not by one as low down the chart as Trinidad Tobago.
But I got to ask you something. As you know, there's been much wailing and gnashing of teeth over this loss and the whole, like, first time failing to qualify for the World Cup since 1986. Oh, boo-hoo, whoa-ho-ho. But is this really the setback that some soccer observers are seeing for soccer in the United States?
The worry that I have on that, Meghna, is that it might take the form of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It shouldn't,
because if you step back and take an objective view, what do you see? You see a professional men's league that's doing quite well and that, in fact, in some cities is selling out, you know, drawing crowds of 50,000 people. You see a women's league which just won't die. I mean, they just keep coming back. And I saw some Breakers games this year, and they were very entertaining. And, of course, you got youth soccer going crazy. Maybe this teaches the federation to start looking for some of those kids who've come from other countries and are playing on the playgrounds, and their parents can't afford the expensive opportunity to play on club teams.
Yeah.
Go watch them down on the playgrounds. Find that Messi from Argentina.
Right.
You know, find that kid who's coming from someplace in Ecuador or Honduras or someplace who's been playing great since he was 3.
Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. He joins us every Wednesdays here at Radio Boston. Thanks so much, Bill.
My pleasure, Meghna.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.